ever since Disney has bought Star Wars and Marvel, there have been questions from the fan community. What exactly is an Inhuman? How is it different than a mutant? What's the expanded universe? What language do Wookiees speak? Are Storm and Black Panther still married? The answer to all these questions and much more on WDWNT On The Air's new show, Nerd Alert, with your host, Joe Hogarty.
Welcome to episode number 14 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm Joe Hogarty, and joining are Patrick Hackett.
Hello.
And Ron Deanna.
Hey out there.
And how's everything going, guys?
Well, I'm back in New England. And I feel that that was a poor decision.
Yeah, tell us about, I know you were mentioning that you were at Universal and that they were selling some Marvel products and your beef.
Well, obviously, and I'll make this quick, obviously they're going to sell Marvel products. They have, you know, Marvel Superhero Island, home of what I consider to be one of the best attractions in Orlando, the Amazing Spider-Man ride. It's really great, but it just bugs me that I walk into Universal and I see Disney product everywhere. Huge displays of Disney stuff, and I just find it funny that there's so much of that. And then after I experienced Terminator 2, which really you need to experience, I walked in the gift shop and was surprised to find Star Wars merchandise there.
That is surprising.
That one I haven't seen. But yeah. It's just odd that, you know, Disney's going to end up getting a cut of everything that they sell of that stuff down the line.
And yeah, that is true.
And I heard with the agreement, and I don't know how true this is, that they actually get a portion of every ticket sale to IOA.
I'm not 100% of the ticket sales. I heard that too. I know they get a percentage of the merchandise,
yeah.
And I know they get audit rights from what I remember reading. So they get to look at Universal's books.
And there's one other thing that really irritated me. And you have this amazing character of Storm, who is a significant minority. She's a black woman, and she's this fantastic character and has so much history and really a powerful female character. And you give her the teacups?
the most nauseating version of the teacups ever. But yeah.
Is that ride going away?
Oh, the whole thing should go away.
I've heard rumors that might go away if Doom and Fantastic Four go away. But right now it's just Hulk being stripped down and rebuilt from scratch. I've heard that it's going to be exactly the same ride, which is good. I love the Hulk coaster.
Great coaster. Very sad that I've missed it on my last two trips. But so, Joe, that's my little opening salvo. How are you, my friend?
No, I'm doing pretty good. And Ron, you doing okay over there?
Yeah, it's a little cold here too, but I could put on a sweatshirt if I need to, as opposed to Orlando summers where I will just melt.
Oh, well, keep warm there, guys. Florida misses you. All right, anyway, I'll just get right into the news, and one of the first news stories that we have is Mark Ruffalo and the Hulk are joining Thor Ragnarok. I'm sure you guys have heard about this and you have opinions, so what do you think?
I don't know. The Thor movies, I feel, out of all of the MCU, have been by far the weakest. I don't know if they're trying to boost this one a little bit, if they were concerned with the direction. But in my mind, Bruce Banner, never mind Hulk, don't fit into Asgard. I just don't see it.
Yeah, the best part of the Thor movies is that they've kind of existed on their own, that they don't seem to, even though like Iron Man has, his own movie since Avengers, and a lot of people are going, like, why doesn't he just call the others in for help? You don't kind of get that feel in Thor because of the dimension hopping and all that. Bringing Hulk into it, I mean, what are they gonna do? Like, he is stronger than all the Asgardians and more invulnerable. So if there is actually a fight, you know, he can't be on the good guy side or it just is ridiculous. And what are they going to do? Have Loki mess with his mind again? I mean, they've overplayed that in both Avengers movies at this point.
Well, Captain America was in Thor: Dark World for a few minutes.
But you don't ask, like, when Thor's fighting the Dark Elves, where is Cap? Where's Iron Man? As opposed to when Iron Man was fighting all the extremist people, like, okay, this is stupid that you didn't call in your friends for help on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, I was going to say, I just think it kind of screams of desperation.
Mm.
I think they kind of feel that we're going to have trouble selling this third Thor movie. We're going to have to bring something in to kind of bring more people in. And Hulk does work well with a group. And I guess they probably feel the same way that he'd work well in Thor instead of giving him his solo movie. But that could be down the line. They might be testing him too, you know, to kind of see what the public's reaction is to more Hulk. And maybe, again, they might give him his own solo movie. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I kind of like the idea. I was kind of hoping that they were going to go the whole thing with Planet Hulk. You know, now that he's kind of separated from the Avengers, from last Avengers Age of Ultron, he was kind of separate from them. But, yeah, we'll see. Hopefully they know what they're doing.
I kind of hope he's just Banner the whole movie and there is no Hulk.
I don't know about that.
Maybe he's looking for an escape and maybe he's in Asgard and now we have, you know, Thor and the Asgardians, and Thor a little divided because he hulks out and smashes some Asgardian ruins or something. I don't know. I agree with you, Joe. I think it really reeks of desperation. I think it takes a lot of mystery out of the end of Avengers too, which I liked because, you know, where's Hulk? When he's going to show up next? Is he going to show up in Civil War? Is he going to be in the next Avengers? Is he going to show up in Guardians? And to have this, I just feel it's lackluster.
Maybe it is something like that where he went to Asgard, so he can't really hurt anybody anymore since they're all immortal gods. So, you know, if he does have an incident, you know, there are enough, you know, superpowered beings around to kind of contain him or fend him off long enough for him to calm down.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll be good. Still got my fingers crossed with that one, but it's not on my list to see right away as some of the other ones are. Let's see. Let's get into another one. We had talked about this amongst ourselves, and actually Den of Geek reported this about 2 weeks ago that the Fantastic Four was coming back to Marvel, and it was basically a rumor. That rumor didn't last that long because both Marvel and Fox came out and denied it. But it does sound like the old thing where there's smoke, there's fire. And there are a couple of signs that kind of point that maybe there is a deal in plan because both Marvel and Sony denied that there are any kind of deal in play for Spider-Man, and then eventually they ended up coming out with it. The things that we know is that Marvel signed off so that Fox could bring the X-Men to TV. They're going to bring Legion and Hellfire as TV series. I think another good sign is that it was actually put on Marvel.com. And I think that that's pretty good because I don't think we've seen anything about regarding Fox on Marvel.com at all in a long time. The Fantastic Four movie was universally panned by most of the critics and the moviegoers. And I think most people just don't want to see a Fantastic Four 2 sequel, or if they do, they want to see Marvel do it. And the big thing is Marvel announced four movies recently at New York Comic Con. Ant-Man and the Wasp was one, and then they said that we have three other movies that we're planning on releasing in 2020, but we're not ready to tell you what those names are. And hopefully at least one of them is Fantastic Four. Maybe one could be Silver Surfer, but we don't know. I mean, again, this is all speculation, but I think that we wouldn't be shocked if they talked about it, and hopefully something does come through with it.
I mean, at this point, Fox keeping the rights and making sequels is, you know, biting off the nose to spite the face. It's just a money loser for them. The only reason to do it is they're angry at Marvel and Disney, and they are kind of still about the whole Star Wars distribution thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame
But it's – I really don't see a reason for them to hang on and make a sequel, given that that movie, you know, made Tomorrowland look like, you know, Avatar numbers. And it was – you know, the or at least the reviews were mixed on – you know, something like Tomorrowland. I haven't heard anyone say a decent thing about Fantastic Four. And this was a, you know, this is something I discussed with people as a theory of how that, you know, Fox has been talking about doing Marvel TV, and then there were some issues with the rights, and that this was a theory that came up. You know, this and maybe the dual use of Logan was the other thing that was a possibility for releasing those TV rights. But it's – I just can't see why they want Fantastic Four anymore. They can't do anything right with it.
I don't think you can do anything right with it right now, if that makes sense. I feel that it's become such a parody that – no matter how many reboots you give it, you can't save this franchise. Especially with, as we'll get into, I'm sure, the way they've been handled in the comics as of late and, you know, how far away they are from what were very seminal runs on the comic books. But I think the only thing that could really save them is if they just started popping up in the MCU as already established characters. I think, you know, having them as background characters, like when Stephen Strange was mentioned in, I do believe, both Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and an Iron Man movie.
Winter Soldier.
It was Winter Soldier, yeah. And he was also mentioned in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He popped up, and I think he was alluded to in Daredevil. But this is the only way to save the Fantastic Four, is to have them in the MCU, but slowly and surprisingly and not a big to-do. I think everybody missed the mark with Fantastic Four. The thing I loved about the Fantastic Four when I was a kid is there was a lot of comedy. It was the same thing that I liked from Spider-Man. I think they took the Fantastic Four way too seriously, and I actually think that the original two movies, as bad as they were, definitely hit some of the notes that I'm looking for in a Fantastic Four movie. The other part of this is the Star Wars distribution and Logan. I think that this is a win-win situation for two companies that love money. I just don't understand how they can't come to some sort of agreement. The original trilogy is like printing money released on Blu-ray. And having Logan show up in, I mean, I don't know how much bigger it could make Avengers, but, I mean, just having him there, or World War Hulk, you know, something like that, it's too smart to not happen.
Well, having the Hulk show up in Old Man Logan would be a plus for them if they got that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's spite. I mean, and like both of you said, a lot of it has to do with the Star Wars deal that went down with Disney instead of Fox. But I don't know. I mean, we could just kind of be hopeful that eventually I agree with what you're saying too, that they're kind of tainted, and we've already seen two origin stories. If Disney gets it, I don't want to see a third one. They're going to either have to be characters in Infinity War, or maybe even Guardians of the Galaxy or something like that.
That wouldn't be a bad place for them.
Yeah, it wouldn't be.
The way I would rather see them done, and I wouldn't mind them doing an origin story if they did it this way, is this should be what, like, Damage Control or something like that's going to be, the comedy, you know, the comedy Marvel tied-in series, because they are kind of a sitcom.
Very much.
When they're written well.
Very much.
I think I've said it on here before, but I will always recommend Wade's run on them for something more recent. I mean, Mark Waid is still probably one of the top, you know, writers of the genre over the last 30 years now. Back to his run on Flash, or maybe even before. But he had a great take on who they were as a family and as people, and the powers were secondary. And they, the first issue of that book really goes into it, that they aren't superheroes, they're adventurers. And that works in a serial series, and that works with that kind of TV comedy level.
Well, we're just going to have to wait and see. Hopefully we get some news by the end of the year. And again, I'm not sure when the Fantastic Four DVD and Blu-ray is due out, but I think if they're going to announce something, hopefully
never.
Announce something. I'm sure it's going to come out, though. I just can't imagine too many people purchasing it. But you never know. All right, so the big news that we had was last Monday night, well, depending on this recording, on Monday Night Football, they had the premiere of the third and the last trailer for Star Wars The Force Awakens. And, again, it was another great trailer. And what is your opinion on this, guys?
There was a new trailer. I must have missed that. Was it on the internet? Because I never heard anybody talking about this.
Are you mocking me right now?
I think he's mocking me.
I think this was 2 days of everything on the internet revolving around this trailer. It, you know, watching live tweets of people claiming to be in tears by it, which I can understand. I think that's a little much. I might have choked up a bit, but it was what I hoped it was going to be. We got scenes of the characters, we got some scenes of action, but we still don't know the plot at all. And that, I think we're going to get into a little bit later, is more speculation from what we've seen here and some rumors that came out going back to some of Abrams' interviews in the past, like really far in the past. Yeah. If I remember seeing something, it's a 10-year-old interview that what he would do if he got Star Wars. It was beautifully shot. I mean, and I'm really happy. And let's not also, you know, forget that it broke the internet with ticket sales as well. Every ticket site went down. It shattered the previous record for pre-sales by 800%, I believe.
That seems like some number that you're making up, but yes, that's true. I just saw it. 800% more ticket sales than Hunger Games.
And 95% of all tickets sold that day were for a movie that was 2 months off.
Speaking of, did you guys get your tickets?
I have IMAX show. I have the pseudo IMAX on Thursday night and a full real IMAX on Friday night.
I have an offer to drive down to New Jersey and watch it with my college buddies. I did not try and get tickets because I was flying. I was on an airplane.
Yeah, actually, I stopped off at the box office of my Regal by me, and I just picked up the 2D version because I just want to see it in 2D first, and then I'll probably end up seeing it at the IMAX and probably RPX and 3D and whatever version they're going to have. Be kind of, I think, in a way, Disney probably could kind of make something out of it if they. That's probably too late now. Kind of create a 4D experience for that movie somewhere in Hollywood Studios.
Well, they do have the special event in Downtown Disney at the AMC there. But I get what you're saying, man. With the effects, that'd be incredible.
Yeah, like moving seats and
how
smoke.
Even if you didn't, you know, have the effects necessarily synced up, how sweet would that be to watch it in Star Tours?
Oh, yeah. That movie.
I would pay serious money for that.
But C-3PO is had to be in the way.
I'm sure you can take that off.
Replace it with the battle droids.
I loved the trailer. I thought it was amazing. It, much like you, Ron, it was exactly what I wanted. I didn't want too much. I didn't want plot. I liked where they were headed. I actually got, I nearly texted Ron while I was on the airplane using the Fly-Fi because I was reading the Shattered Empire comic books, and some very interesting information about one of the characters is in there. But yeah, it was great, and obviously the scene everyone is talking about is Han, who is such the skeptic. It's all true, and I mean, that's just, it was amazing.
Yeah, that was amazing. I felt that way too. I thought that was like the killer scene right there. I liked the second trailer better though, because that was like the first time that we saw Harrison Ford as Han Solo, and you know, you hear his voice, and then you see him, and I still get the chills watching that. This one though, it was a great trailer. You got to see more of the ground battles that they're having, like not really space battles, but kind of like overhead battles. You kind of get a glimpse of the weapon that they're, what is it, the
Star Killer.
The Star Killer, and is it the First Order? So, yeah, we got to see some really cool stuff, and they are keeping some things hidden, like Peeta Nyong'o's character we still haven't seen, and I'm really curious as to see what she looks like. But we still haven't seen Andy Serkis' character, and people have been complaining that we still really haven't seen Luke, although we got a glimpse of him again in the trailer. We think that's him, but that's another story that's been popping up. Because people haven't seen him on the poster, and people haven't seen Mark Hamill or Luke in the trailer, they're coming to this conclusion that maybe Luke is evil.
Well, how about the one that he's Kylo Ren, when we know the actor playing Kylo Ren's name, and we've, you know, there's been a shot of him without the helmet on. Yeah. That one's just the most absurd of the rumors possible.
Yeah, I don't even know who would even, like, read that. I mean, that's kind of crazy.
I saw a lot of that going around. I saw that in the interview you guys were talking about. Joe, I believe you sent that out in an email to all of us about that that interview with Abrams and Hamill. But, yeah, I mean, I think that, Ron, I think you brought it up a couple shows ago, the idea that his student is Kylo Ren, and this is what makes him feel shame. That might be the way we're going.
I think he did something that screwed up. I really think.
Bigger than kissing his own sister.
Yeah, like he screwed something up and realized he can't be around. He is not the Jedi Master he wants to be. And that might be, you know, teaching Kylo Ren. I still think Kylo is going to be tied into somebody from the original trilogy. I still think there's a chance that... How old is Adam Driver as an actor? Does anybody know?
I mean, he's in his mid-20s, I think. He might
so
be
he could still
30s.
Play the same age as Daisy Ridley if he really wanted to.
Absolutely.
So I still think that there's a chance they're the twin. They're the new set of twins.
Yep.
And they both went looking for Luke. And Kylo found him, and Daisy got, Rey got stranded on Jakku. I mean, once again, this is all speculation. This is just me trying to fill in 2 months of being insane, sitting around waiting for this to happen. And I think that's what it is. I think we're going to see Luke by the end of this in full. Obviously, we know he shot some stuff. And I think it is that the whole plot of the movie is where's Luke is, I think, what's going on. That's why we don't see him. And I think that's going to be addressed right off in the opening crawl.
Oh, yeah. And I totally agree with that. And I think that is the reason why we're not seeing him. Because why would you want to – if you see him in the trailer and in the opening scene is like, all right, you know, we found his lightsaber. Now we have to look for Luke. It kind of gives away the fact, if you've seen him in the trailer, that he still exists. So they're probably just doing that. That's why he's being kept out. I don't want to reveal too much, but as far as the twins, I don't know if they're twins. I think one may not be a Solo. But that's something, we, you know, again, speculation. And
Yeah, I mean, the whole hiding last names and the one character we do have a last name for is a pseudonym. So all these characters are going to be playing around.
You're talking about Poe?
No, he's talking about Finn.
Oh.
No, Finn, Kylo Ren, and Rey.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
we don't know none of their full run names. We know Poe Dameron.
And we've gotten the backstory about him now.
A little. His parents were both involved in the Battle of Endor. This has been in a couple books, as well as Shattered Empire. And by the way, go pick up Shattered Empire.
Absolutely, go pick up Shattered Empire. And Chewie.
There's a collected edition is going to be out before Force Awakens if you're waiting for the trade.
Oh, that's cool. When is that?
Yeah, they're rushing that out with a couple other. I think like Leia number one and like Star Wars number one. Looks like the paperback collected edition is coming out November 17th. I don't see everything in it, but it is 136 pages. So I think that's more than just those four books. I think there's two or three other one-off issues involved. It finished up this week. It's only a four-issue run. Poe's mother is an A-wing pilot from the Battle of Endor, and his father is one of the commandos that's with Han on the Forest Moon.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they do talk about him a little bit at the end of the Leia novel, Moving Target, that came out on Force Friday. Those are short novels. They're all decent enough. If you can get them for a decent price, I'd recommend it. But they're all, I read two of them in an afternoon. They're pretty short. They probably should have just been sold as like a novella trilogy. And each of them takes place in the future, but they're flashbacking to scenes that took place between, two of them take place between New Hope and Empire, and the Leia one takes place between Empire and Jedi. But they're being told, like, a character is telling the story that took place in the past. And so Leia mentions something about Poe being one of their best pilots, if not their best pilot at the time. So they are definitely laying the groundwork for him. The others, we'll have to find out who they are.
Yeah, well, I haven't read any of the issues, so I'll definitely be picking up the trade paperback. That's definitely something to look forward to, and got that date down, November 17th. And
that's
according
to Amazon, so.
Yeah, that sounds good. All right, so anyway, if you haven't gotten your tickets and you want to see it the weekend it opens, I'd suggest basically you go out there and either order on Fandango or some other type of online ticketing service or go right to the box office. I think the box office has some more tickets set aside.
And there are plenty out there for opening night. There's not a shortage because a lot of these theaters, like if they're like, I know the AMC at Downtown Disney has a special event, but I think 18 of the 24 screens are dedicated to the special event, and the other six are just selling regular tickets to it. And then I think the downtown Boston's 19 screens and 13 of them were showing it.
Wow.
It's basically nothing else is being shown at a lot of places on that Thursday night.
And let's make something clear here. There's not a single Marvel movie that can come out that would get that treatment. As much as we all love Marvel, Star Wars is so much more a cultural phenomenon than Marvel is. And I think that Star Wars bridges generations more and bridges generations in a closer fashion, if that makes sense, than Marvel does.
Very well said.
The only thing I've seen that did that, I believe, was Deathly Hallows 2. And theaters had, since it was, I think, a midnight screening still, every theater showed it at midnight. And then there was a 2 a.m. screening up here. Or a 3 a.m. screening, whatever it took to do that. And I think Dark Knight did the 3 a.m., but it wasn't at, 12 screens out of a 12-screen theater. But they were still doing. Those are the only ones I've seen that do, like, there's a 2 a.m. show at one of the Boston theaters.
Well, guys, it's getting close. It's almost a month and a half away.
And how about the incentive things that they have to get people to go back and see the movie multiple times now? Did you see all that?
No.
No, I did not.
Most of the major chains have some sort of giveaway. The two I was paying attention to, because there are chains that are around here, like on Saturdays for like a few weeks.
Oh, you mean like Regal, the posters?
Regal has posters. And then on Sundays, AMC has posters. And you know there's going to be people going to both shows every week to get those posters. I'm not saying I'm one of them. I'm saying it's a possibility. But I think that's a really good way to keep driving, because the chances are, given the release date, it's not going to break the weekend record, especially since Thursday night's not going to count. But, you know, that Avatar record might be more in play, because this is going to have more legs with these repeat viewings.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, nothing gets IMAX till mid-January.
Yeah. Mm.
Yep.
I know I'm in for several repeat viewings.
Oh, yeah, me too. And hopefully the Blu-ray will be right around the corner, and we'll get it sometime in April or May. Possibly May.
I think we could see a little bit longer than the 90-day window we've been seeing lately.
Like, yeah, I agree, but I would also think that, you know, May the 4th might be a day that they...
Oh, yeah, May I could definitely see. That's almost 6 months. But, you know, like we've been seeing like even some like 45 or 60 day for some smaller films. But to, you know, convince these theaters to put in, you know, IMAX exclusivity for a month, they probably agreed to hold off on that second window.
And I was just thinking, too, I mean, we're probably going to see a trailer for Civil War and Rogue One that night, too. I'm assuming that that's what's going to be.
I would see both. I could definitely see both of that. Just because Rogue One's been filming, so we'll get a really short teaser, I'd assume.
Mm. And yeah, so it's definitely something we'll look forward to. All right, so let's get into what these guys have been reading. I know they've been reading a lot of comic books. So let's hear it, guys. Come on, well, give it to me.
Let's transition with the Star Wars books. They've all been very solid. Lando finished up. If that comes out in a when that comes out in a paperback, I'd strongly recommend that one. It's a great background into who Lando was, and was written extremely well in character.
Oh man, I texted Ron while I was reading it. I said, "You can hear Billy D. Williams just coming out of the pages. It was so well written, and it's such an interesting story." And a little bit of background on the Emperor in that as well. So I found that very interesting.
So was that pre-Empire?
Oh, yeah. It's well before Cloud City.
Oh, so he's basically like a scoundrel and, you know, kind of like a pirate, space pirate?
He's a thief and a gambler. He's not a smuggler in this one.
Okay.
And that's kind of more the feel I think that they wanted than him just being another Han. It's something slightly different.
And you're always always wondering about his morals. Like, they feel very corruptible, obviously.
Yeah, it's definitely... He always walks that line of... He's got that nudge to do the right thing, but he's still super self-interested at all times.
Okay, so let's get more Star Wars.
The main book been very good still. The first trade of that's probably out or coming out soon, because they're on, what, issue 10 or 11 now? Oh, same thing with Vader.
Yeah, I gave up on both of those.
It's not the strongest. The minis have been overall stronger because they're a set series, but... I think this month they're coming into a tie-in between what's going on in Vader and what's going in Star Wars. Vader is basically about the hunt for Luke once Vader finds out his name. about the pilot who destroyed the Death Star. That's the major plot of the book. And there are some interesting characters and some interesting ways Vader's doing it behind the Emperor's back is kind of the whole point. He doesn't want the Emperor to know what he's doing because he's fallen out of favor also after losing the Death Star. And these two books take place smack dab, maybe, you know, a month or two after Episode 4. And the Star Wars book itself is kind of all over the place because all the characters are off with their own stories and they're all coming together at different times. It actually does feel a lot like that 1970s series that Marvel put out back then. I know they just put out the compendiums, which are very expensive. Maybe a cheaper way to do it is get Marvel Unlimited for a month and just read them on your iPad or whatever your device of choice would be. But they're all there. And it has that feel of Planet of the Week kind of adventure more than the others do. The first issue of Chewie, not sure where it's going. Patrick, did you get that?
I did not. I actually saw that in both Universal and Disney. And I was like, oh, I should pick this up. But I figured it's in my pull list when I get over to the comic book store.
Yeah, it looks like it could be interesting. It's kind of hard to have, you know, your main character not speak, but plenty of people can do it.
I want to talk about Kanan. I think that one has been the best, and I think the best accompaniment to the supplementary material. It's just great. It's been really great. It made my enjoyment of Rebels even more.
Especially these last two episodes.
Oh, these! I have one on the DVR, but I watched the season premiere. It was so good.
You get so much more out of... I mean, everybody knows, obviously, he somehow survived Order 66. But you get that story of how he dealt with the clones out of those first arcs. And now I believe it's become a full Rebels.
Yeah, the last episode was transitioning it.
I have issue 6. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's really interesting. The Star Wars books, you've liked more than I have, Ron, but the ones I've liked, I've really enjoyed. I blew through them on the plane, skipping over other issues of other Marvel books that I was supposed to be reading, instead opting for the Star Wars books.
Yeah, and we've already mentioned Shattered Empire. It is probably the most essential.
Yes.
As a precursor to The Force Awakens, even though I'm sure you're not going to lose anything if you don't have it, I'd still recommend it just to get a feel of what happened after. Because this kind of is rewriting Truce of Pakura, the Thrawn trilogy, and everything that followed after that. I think that's it for the Star Wars books. I read the first issue of The New Figment. It is just pure fanboy.
Oh, yeah. Pure fan service.
And, you know, when I was down in the parks a few weeks ago, I happened to be wearing one of my homemade Figment shirts and Dreamfinder shirts. And I had so many people stop and talk to me about that book. I actually, you know, had to tweet at Jim Zub about it just because I really, at one point at Epcot, every 5 minutes, a cast member or even a couple guests stopped to talk to me about the shirt and ask, oh, by the way, did you read the book? It is pure Disney fan service for any Epcot fans. I recommend – I could see waiting to pick that one up in trade, though, if you're not –
The first run just came out in trade, so definitely pick that up.
That's what I was going to ask you. So they do make trades for those.
Yes.
They get them out quick, too.
Yeah.
All the Disney Kingdoms have been... I don't know if Thunder's out yet.
Thunder's
but
out. I saw Thunder at World of Disney.
Which is worth picking up. I think the first one is the weakest of the series.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still worth a decent... It's still worth a read if you can.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Let's go to Secret War.
No!
You got a problem there, Patrick?
I'm so angry. It's not even funny. I spent a good 5 minutes at my local comic book store just complaining about this event because they can't get it under control. And now that there's number ones for new series that have been affected by the events of Secret Wars coming out, and Secret Wars has not yet wrapped up.
We're on issue 6 now, right?
I do believe of what was supposed to be an 8 and is now a 9-issue run.
I've read all of the main books. I still have about a foot-tall stack of the tie-ins I chose to get.
Yeah.
The ones I chose to get are basically ones that I really like the, you know, mini it was based off of or the storyline it was based off of, which I know are going to really disappoint me by the end of this. The main book I've loved, I think, is one of their best event books in a very, very long time. Better than AVX was okay. Age of Ultron.
I liked AVX, but AVX disintegrated quickly.
Yeah. The book, the self-contained part of that seemed okay. Age of Ultron was just really disappointing. Because there was barely any Ultron in it. It just made no sense as to what they were doing there. I think they just wanted to play with time, and they've been setting up all of this between that and Infinity, which itself was a good book, but once again, kind of dragged on in all the different minis and like all the different Avengers books that were tied into it. But this, the main book, has been very solid. You don't know what happened, so that's why you want to keep reading. The other books, you know what's happened so far, so you really haven't been that invested in what's going on. It's just a normal long comic story. This one so far is really a mystery as to how things got the way they did. Even though they explain a lot of it, there's still something missing about how this battle world took place.
All right, so you're a little less far than I am, and so here's what's happening is significant characters in all of these different battle worlds have started to piece this together, and God Doom, because Doom has fashioned himself as a god in this world, has realized that his comeuppance is coming, and he's basically getting it from all ends. Much like the Star Wars books, there's a few of the non-major titles, these one-offs, these short stories that have been really good. Like, you've heard me talk about the MODOK Assassin book. That was great. 1862, which I do believe is actually getting a Red Hawk book, when the new book started, might have already started, has been really good, and Red Hawk's a good character. There's been a lot of good stuff. The Spider Island and the Spider-Verse books have been good. The X-Men stuff has been the most confusing because there's been so many iterations. Also, Old Man Logan wrapped up, and Old Man Logan is, they're basically saying he's the key to taking down God Doom. It's been a very confusing time, and I'm irritated that stories that were, you know, hinging on this event have already started to come out, because I wanted to come to a conclusion of the event and then move on. But it's just, it's very frustrating. And I worry that if, you know, this is the direction the books are going, hopefully the movies don't suffer the same fate.
Well, I've started reading the number ones. I've gotten a lot of them so far. Most of them have been pretty good from what I've read, at least enough that I will maybe get at least a couple more issues just to see the story. So far I've read Invincible Iron Man and Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2, New Avengers and Uncanny Avengers number 1, and Avengers 0, which kind of explains why there are so many Avengers teams or what's going on. I can't even remember all of them. There's the Uncanny Avengers, which is a mix between some of the few mutants that are left on Earth, some human-based characters who get their powers other ways, and Inhumans. The New Avengers, which are the, like, a lot of B-listers, but they're like, they've taken over AIM, and now AIM is running an Avengers team. Then you have your standard Avengers, which I don't believe the first book's out yet. You have the A-Force, which is all the
Lady Avengers.
All the women Avengers, and that's going to be a little more cosmic, I think. And then you have the Ultimates, which I really – these are all characters I really don't know anything about too much, but they seem to be dealing with something on their own. And then there's going to be a Squadron Supreme book, which these characters have been known to be kind of evil in the past. But these seem to be the iterations where they think they're doing good, but they kind of have Machiavellian methods to getting there. So they are willing to kill and things that the other teams are going. That's just the Avengers. This Amazing Spider-Man 1, you know, the main story
was about... Is it Parker
or
is it Miles?
It is Parker.
Okay.
But Miguel, Miles... Spider-Woman, like there's a whole, all the Spider characters are kind of tied in. Spider-Gwen is off on her own world still. I read Spider-Gwen 1 that's not really tied in. Then there's the Web Warriors is going to continue with like Spider-Man from a million different worlds trying to write time. It's like, do you remember Exiles book?
No.
Or Sliders?
Mm-mm.
The TV show?
Yes.
So they're going between different dimensions where something's gone wrong that involves the Spider-Man on that world. Like he might have died or something, like he might have gone bad. That's what that one looks like. I pull out the book and bring it up, but I don't know where it is in this pile to tell you all the others. But the main one is Peter. He is running Parker Industries. He is basically, and they really address this, he is poor man's Iron Man. Spider-Man is his bodyguard, like Iron Man used to be. Nobody knows it's him. He has a couple other people he pays to dress up as Spider-Man to come and do things with him.
No,
so
this
he could,
is
you know,
just making me so angry.
It's actually not been bad. The book itself, because it's when he's in costume, he's still very much Spidey. That he's still very much a wise ass and still that hero totally in that costume. Iron Man is an Iron Man book, so if I haven't seen any real difference, except they basically wrote in a way that different writers and artists can use the armor and make the armor look whatever they want. It's completely adapt. Like, at a certain point, it turns into the Hulkbuster, and then back to the normal suit. It just evolves to what he needs. There is a major villain has shown up in that. I'm not going to go too far into spoilers on that one, but it's somebody we weren't exactly sure was going to come back from the end of Secret Wars. But he seems to kind of be trying to make amends, so we'll see what goes there. I'd pick it up, at least one issue, just to see. Strange was definitely a decent book, but it's in its own world again with the magic. Spider-Man 2099, I can't really say go get it. Because I'm not sure where it's going after that first book. Uncanny Inhumans.
Has the new Guardians hit yet?
I did not pick up Guardians.
See, I'm real interested in that, especially where I was last left off with Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde, and I had a lot invested into their characters in just a short period of time. So I'm very interested in that and see how the team dynamic works, and the advertising for it basically says that Rocket's in charge, so...
I will pick that up. I wasn't sure if that was, like, I think I saw it on the shelf and wasn't sure if it was the one based off the TV show or not, so I didn't pick it up. I'm still not sure if that was the one that was out, but I will look that up. Because Thing is out in space, because the Fantastic Four are no more in this. They clearly say Reed and Sue are missing. Johnny's with a couple of the Avengers teams.
Thing is with Guardians.
Yeah, Thing is with the Guardians. Johnny is with the Uncanny Avengers, and he's appearing in Uncanny Inhumans. So he's just Uncanny now. And Uncanny Inhumans is basically they've turned the Inhumans completely into mutants, the way they're treating them. They're popping up all over the world. They're getting into, you know, people are distrusting them. People are kidnapping and using them for their abilities. They're out there to prove that they are really heroes and that they, you know, humans and Inhumans can live together.
So kind of getting in line with what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going on through right now.
Very much. And the way, if people don't know, Earth is now completely inhospitable to mutants because the Terrigen has been released into the atmosphere. Terrigen kills mutants. The ones that are behind, like Beast and Rogue, have to take serums to stay on Earth. And if they don't, they start getting sick. One of the others I just finished reading is, did you guys see all the controversy about the new Captain America book?
No.
I didn't either.
Fox ran something. Fox News ran something, so that could tell you where this is going. That, you know, his big villain in this first new issue is a racist group. Yeah, it's a group that's going out and executing Mexican immigrants who are trying to get into the country. So, of course, they're making a big deal that, you know, since it's a black Captain America, he has to go fight this. I think people forget that the first thing Captain America did that anybody saw was punch Hitler because it was on the cover of the book.
This Captain America is going to be so rife for judgment, and it's just the next evolution of the character. This is what happens. Characters fall and people pick up the mantle unless they go and retcon it out like the spider clones, you know?
But they are very right, much right in this to be a kind of political book.
Absolutely.
He is in trouble with S.H.I.E.L.D. He's no longer working for the government because he decided to start speaking out on social injustice issues, which is something that the character really should do as Captain America. I mean, there's been books, you know, where Steve refuses to go to Afghanistan for, you know, after 9/11. That was, you know, the first the Marvel Knights Cap. I mean, his thing was, I shouldn't be doing that. I should be here helping digging people out of rubble. Yeah. And I mean, that's a little different, but it still addresses that. That storyline goes on to that, saying that, you know, some of these terrorist acts are because of things the U.S. has done in the past. And that was a Cap book in the past.
Yes.
So Cap has always been a semi-political thing. People want to pull up stupid crap like Wolf Cap from the 90s when he was just your other superhero. But that's not who the Captain America, whoever was wearing that mantle, needs to be.
So yeah, there's a lot going on, and I'm still a little bit behind. But I'm looking forward to the end of Secret Wars. I can only assume how it ends with the way the direction Marvel's going with Fox characters. You know, and I'm going to be interested in how they play Deadpool with Deadpool movie coming out yet not being an official Marvel, you know, movie.
Oh, he's the star of Uncanny Avengers, and they even say, like, he has his own brand of merchandise in the universe.
That's awesome.
They're going a little meta with it. Like, they're using the sales of Deadpool merch to fund the Avengers.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of hope that because of the issues with Fox and Marvel that we don't see issues with Deadpool.
I think Deadpool's too much of a cash cow. I think, if Fantastic Four books sold like Deadpool books, this would be different.
But isn't Wolverine and the X-Men too? Aren't they cash cows too?
I don't think X-Men books were selling like that, and they are still. Old Man Logan's getting a new number one, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, X-Men books have always been solid. So, like, Superman books are always solid numbers for DC, but they're never their best seller. They're just always a good book. And there's been spikes of X-Men during, you know, when they start off a new run. Like when Grant Morrison took over New X-Men, great run. Josh Whedon's Astonishing X-Men. But at the same time, you had people like Chuck Austin And people were just buying the book because it's an X-Men book, even though everyone reading it saying this is one of the worst stories ever, when he kept introducing, like, different species of mutants. Like, there's werewolf mutants who, you know, can take down can rip off Wolverine's arms. And there's just a ton of them. And then there's angel and demon mutants, and that's where, you know, somehow Angel and Nightcrawler were spawned off of them. That was really stuff this guy did, and he was on a lot of people like, well, he keeps selling books. I guess you guys like his stories. No, he keeps selling books because you're putting him on books like X-Men and Superman, because he was writing Superman at one point. People are just going to buy those books no matter what because they love those characters. It doesn't have to be a good writer to sell those books. And eventually he went off and did some – I think he went off into the indie world and wrote under a pseudonym for a while.
So I'm going to say, with Secret Wars coming to an end and our new number ones coming out, I think the three titles to really look out for are Ms. Marvel with Kamala Khan, Squirrel Girl, and Spider-Gwen. They're hugely popular characters. When you go to cons, that's who you see right now. And I think you're going to see a lot with the new Avengers. I think the main Avengers book, which is Cap, Ms. Marvel, Thor, and a few others are in it. So I'm excited. I think it's a good time to be a Marvel fan, but I'm still a bit concerned because sometimes it's like a rudderless boat. Like, it just loses direction, and you know, I worry.
And Squirrel Girl is, yeah, in the new Avengers book, and I'm not the most familiar with the character, so seeing her interacting there is definitely fun.
She's amazing.
And they're making for the, like, other characters, like, I just don't understand you.
All right, so that's Patrick and Ron's comic book reviews and their thoughts on that. And this will bring our show to an end. And where can everyone find us? Can you tell me, guys?
We can be found at Nerd Alert Pod on Twitter. We have been using it more. And I am personally at Gracie's Butler.
You can email the show at nerdalertpod@gmail.com. Come on, if you get one email, just one, I swear, you will devote most of the episode to it. Give us something good. You can find me personally at AshleySal. You can also find me hosting my other show, Around the Hub, which I believe is Tuesdays at 9 p.m. now on WWST On the Air.
That'll bring episode 14 to end. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Stay nerdy.
See you.